Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having the happiest of hump days. Well, it is always a pleasure to be joined by Rick Honeycutt, the former Lakeview University of Tennessee and Major League Baseball pitching standout. Of course, longtime coach of the pitching coach of the Los Angeles Dodgers, and is now adjusting into a front office role. Rick, thank you so much. I know you've been on the golf course. Did the rain stay away from you?
It did. It did. We were somehow able to get all 18 in without even a sprinkle.
That's a good day. That's a good day then. Just curious, how frustrating, or has this process been frustrating for you with baseball? Because it seems like they could have ironed this out weeks ago. And I don't know, did you ever feel yourself siding with the owners or players throughout this entire ordeal?
Well, I think we all thought, you know, it's an unprecedented time going through the virus and the COVID, and so something like this really is never, you had to approach something of this magnitude, because you do have, you know, the team spread out all over the country. Every state's been different, and the situation's different everywhere. But you were hoping that there would be thinking of just the sport and the fans, and you're right. I guess my frustration was, just work something out. Nobody likes to hear owners and baseball players arguing over money, especially during this time what was going on. So it was frustrating. I think it got to the point where it had to be, you know, obviously frustrating for both sides. And now, though, they've at least got dates, and there's going to be, you know, some baseball played this year.
And speaking of those dates, I mean, we now know that July 1st looks like the date where the second spring training will be up and running, with an opening day for teams either July 23rd or 24th. With your new role, what does that mean for you? Where do you think you'll be July 23rd or 24th?
I still don't know. I actually, you know, reached out today, and they're so involved because there are still some situations. I think certain teams are going through where the virus that closed the spring training sites. Most teams are actually going to hold the next spring training at their home stadium. Like the Dodgers are going to hold theirs in L.A. And I think 29 of the 30 teams are going to be doing that. For myself, I think they're getting everybody in, and they make sure they follow all the protocols for the health. And I think I'd say for somebody like me, though, that there's other issues of the travel. Do they want people traveling? How many people are going to be allowed, you know, around the players? So I think there's still a lot of questions whether or not early on that I would even, you know, be going to the next spring training. So it's my role is still up in the air really right now.
Rick, obviously you know the Dodgers backwards and forwards. You also know about the Braves and every other team that appears on LA's schedule. When you look at baseball now in a 60-game season, where every game now has 2.7 times the weight of a game in a normal 162-game season, first with the Dodgers, how do you think the shortened season, because I know there are a lot of folks that have really high hopes, and goodness gracious, the 106 regular season wins last year. How do you think a shortened season will affect the Dodgers?
Well, you know, there's no way to exactly tell. I think a lot of it's going to be, you know, the health of the club when you start out. Starting pitchers are still probably not going to be up to full speed. I still expect, and I haven't heard, but I expect expanded rosters for at least the first, you know, 2 to 3 weeks of the season, especially for the pitching. So the teams that have the most depth are probably going to have those advantages, and the Dodgers are one of those teams that have a lot of depth in their organization and at that level. So should be a benefit for, you know, the better teams like the Dodgers, because there will be some added people to the roster, especially early in the season.
And would you put the Braves in that exact same category?
Yeah, I don't know enough about, you know, their farm system. I know they have their talents up and coming. They have a lot of young arms that I know are on their way. So those young men are going to probably get an opportunity to get some innings in early in the season. So, you know, I don't know enough about them to where I could say, but obviously their talent on the field is extremely at the top. And, you know, a little bit of the new rules too come into play, where the relief pitching, you know, when a relief pitcher starts an inning, it's not for like the lefty specialist. So that person's going to have to face a minimum of three batters. So, late in the game, there could be, you know, some differences there too, that, we haven't seen before. Those are all new things that, a new rule that will be in place this year.
You're listening to former Lakeview and University of Tennessee and Major League pitcher Rick Honeycutt here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Rick, I'm curious that you mentioned that, because at the tail end of your career, how many years would that have cut off your playing career, do you think, the three-batter minimum?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you get late in the game, I mean, it's pretty much set up that, you know, the lineup. You look at the lineup, and certain teams are have more situations. And I know, looking at, actually was on MLB the other day, a game against in the playoffs against Boston. But you know, they had a situation where you were going to face, my part of the order was going to be, you know, Boggs and Mo Vaughn and Greenwell. Well, that was my spot, where another team that you face may only have, you know, I'm in there for only maybe one left-handed batter.
Right.
But your left-handed people are going to be different, because now they're going to be expected to go through a certain set of the lineup, where most teams now are setting their lineups to where it's, you know, left, right, left, or right, right, left, right. You know, they don't have too many situations where they have back-to-back left-handers. A lot of times, if their lineup can be set up that way. So whoever you have, you want that left-hander to be able to face, you know, multiple guys and have the arsenal to get, you know, right-handers out along with the left-handers. So we have, you know, a couple of our lefties are extremely good at getting out either side. So you hope that you have that covered, but a lot depends on your roster mix at that point in time and who's pitching well and who's available. So those are different decisions the manager's going to have to make this year.
The having spent time as both a player and a coach in both leagues, what do you think about the universal DH?
Well, I don't like it. I mean, that is the difference between the, you know, right now the main difference between the two leagues of having nine batters. We're in the National League, you're set up and you have that pitcher spot and you have the lower part of the order, which makes a difference in game planning and how you go about it. But for this scenario, and there's been a lot of talk of doing away and making both leagues have the DH, it gives an opportunity for them to see that over a shortened season and see how that works out. And just have to just see going forward if that's something that's implemented down the road. But yeah, I think we'll get that opportunity to see how that works out, if that's going to be a differential for, you know, going forward or not, or if that's something that the National League's going to want to continue to have the pitcher be the be hitting in that, the starting pitcher, you know, be hitting in that situation. So it gives us an opportunity to see that. But for me, I like the National League because I still think that the, you know, runs are usually less, and that situation where pitchers that can hit a little bit or bunt, it makes a different strategy for the manager, and there's more strategy sometimes in the National League than the American League.
And I know David kind of asked about a little bit about the blame. You, as someone in baseball, are you more excited or more relieved that baseball has finally been able to figure this out?
Well, you know, I felt like going through four work stoppages and being involved in strikes, there's a date and time that things are eventually going to happen. The ownership does control that side of it. They control that time that basically they're going to, because it takes two sides to have an agreement, and most of the time they're not going to agree on everything. So in this situation, the owners knew that they were, with no fans, that they were going to lose revenue. So the fewer games that were played, less salary is going to be paid. So that was, I always felt like there was going to be a deadline time in their mind. And we were on it after it hit that. You know, the original 82 game schedule was set for July the 4th, and then when that got backed away, and they started talking about a fewer games, and they'd already implemented that the commissioner could implement the structure if no agreement did come about. So that's basically what we're seeing. You knew there. I always felt like baseball was going to be, we just didn't know the length of time. Was it going to be a 82-game schedule? Was it going to be a 100-game schedule? And I think that was the main thing the players kept fighting for. Obviously, the more games played, the more salary they were going to receive.
You're listening to Rick Honeycutt, the former Lakeview University of Tennessee and Major League pitcher, here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Rick, personal question here. When's the last time you've spent so much time in Chattanooga consecutively?
This is the first time since I retired in 98. You know, 98 was the first year that I stopped playing. My last year was 97. So this is the only time that I've been home those 3 years, 98, 99, and 2000. And so I'm enjoying my grandkids, getting to see them. Their games, they've been able to play the last three weekends, and seeing all their games, it's fun to get to see them play and have that opportunity to be home to be able to enjoy that. So it's been a pleasure being home this amount of time.
Well, Rick, you know how we roll when we have great guests like you. We love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Sure.
Okay. All right. If I set the over under at 5 times a week as far as you golfing since this pandemic started, would you go over under? Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, 4 to 5 times a week has been my average. Yeah.
What'd you shoot today?
74.
That a boy.
What? Who will be your biggest challenger in the NL West?
I think it's actually going to be San Diego. I think San Diego made some nice moves. They got some good young players. So I really think that San Diego could be the sleeper in our division.
Did you ever think you'd get to a point entering a major league season that, you know what, guys, if we can just win 40 games this year, we've got everybody right where we wanted them?
No, that would never happen. 40 games you'd definitely be headed home early.
All right, Rick, what have you watched the most during this pandemic? What have you found yourself watching the most on TV?
Yellowstone.
Atta boy.
I never got to see those early, so my wife had recorded all of them. So We sat there and watched all every season. And actually before the Sunday when they started the new season, we actually went and watched them again so we'd be up to date on exactly what was going on. So a lot of reruns and The Voice when it was on. So that's been probably the TV part of it. Whenever we didn't have grandkids, that was what we were doing.
Okay, in honor of your appearance here on Press Row, because we consider you baseball royalty, we've been offering random, crazy, eye-popping baseball stats. Which of these is more impressive to you? That Tony Gwynn had 274 plate appearances against Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz and struck out a combined three times, or that Mariano Rivera holds the record for most postseason games pitched and allowed 11 runs, and that conversely is fewer than the number of men who've walked on the moon?
Oh, gosh. Those are both impressive. They're Hall of Famers, both of them, and they deserve that credit. And to say which one, I play, you know, saw both of them, and both those are totally impressive. Tony Gwynn, that's totally impressive. And of course, Rivera doing what he did was totally impressive. I think that's a tie.
Rick, listen, great stuff as always. We always appreciate you visiting us here on Press Row. Best of luck in the weeks ahead. And when you do get called to travel, we hope everything's safe for you. And again, we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
My pleasure, guys. Enjoyed it.
All righty. Rick Honeycutt always delivers, always great stuff. 648-1051 is the number. When we come back, we got to wrap this booger up with the closing full court press. Back with our final segment of the show. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.